Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to continue with our series on This Means War. I think we truly are, as I mentioned in the very first message, introductory message, we are in a season of spiritual warfare. And we recognize on the first message who our battle was against. Our battle was against the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness in this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Remember, our enemy is not each other. It's not the church down the road. So I will echo what my pastor has echoed many times. Be sure to pick your battles. Sometimes battles we get in aren't worth fighting because you won't win. A lot of times when you debate or even argue with other people, you can't change their mind, and they ain't going to change your mind. So a lot of times it's wasted energy. So pick your battles. Pick your battles. Our enemy is Satan. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He's the true enemy. And then we talked about the battle, of course, and then the belt, taking on the whole armor of God in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That was the belt of truth. And then we dealt with having on the breastplate of righteousness. That was the last message that we preached a few weeks ago on our breastplate. And today we're going to center in on verse 15. We're going to talk about the boots of the gospel of peace. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You'll notice, I mentioned this before, and I apologize for repeating myself on some things, but it needs to be repeated. Some things, the reason why Paul put these in there, they weren't in random order. The way he placed these pieces of armor was for a specific reason. And we all know that it takes every piece to make up the whole armor of God. But we know that some are essential to our fighting the battle. And you understand that the theme around these verses is simply one word, and that's stand. God wants us to be able to stand and withstand in this evil day. And if we're going to stand in this evil day, not that just doesn't mean just stand and wait. What I believe it means, it's almost a word of action. It means taking a stand. Okay, am I right, or am I? Okay, well, make sure you're here with me. We're in church tonight. Ephesians 6. Taking a stand. It's about action. It's about taking a stand. And really, we have to understand as well that when we take a stand, sometimes that means we will lose friends, sometimes even lose family for taking a stand. But we must take a stand in this day. And if we're going to take a stand, we have to have the whole armor of God. We got to have the belt, we got to have the breastplate, and we have to have the boots, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let's look at this tonight for just a few moments, and I promise I'll get you out before Walmart closes tonight. I promise you that. Number one, I want you to notice, why are these boots or why are these shoes desired? Sometimes I think, and this is just me thinking here, we take shoes for granted. But they are a very important part of our everyday lives and our apparel. In fact, I brought some examples. let's see. Yeah. Shoes are important. They are. And I've got a variety of shoes. Most of these I get on sale. But very important, and I'll tell you why here in a moment. These are some shoes I wear sometimes to play basketball in, usually once a year at church camp. And yes, these are size 14s. I do have a big foot. So my son wears size 11s already in men's shoes, and he's only going into sixth grade. So God help us. He's not wearing youth sizes anymore. And shoes are expensive, aren't they? Awful. Okay. So that's, I have dress shoes on tonight to go with my black suit. If I wear brown suits, I've got brown dress shoes. I need a new pair of brown dress shoes, honey. birthday coming up. I have some casual tennis shoes that I wear just out and about. These are running shoes. As you can tell, they're fairly worn. Almost look brand new. Fresh out of the box. But if I happen to run at night, they're glow in the dark. You ever have an impulse buy? That was an impulse buy. I have ran in them before. It's a while back. These are just everyday shoes I wear sometimes. These are bowling shoes. Right, Ted? Where are you at, Ted? Bowling shoes. Got to have those. And then I got some flip-flops. So you said, Brian, why would you bring your closet of shoes? Well, I have more, but I didn't have room in my bag. That's bad, isn't it? And don't laugh, because you probably have that many or maybe more. I knew that was going to happen. I knew that was going to happen. Good night, folks. It's been a great night. Actually, I got them on. That's exactly right. I was prepared for that. My work shoes I got on my feet. I do have some, but they're fairly worn as well, about like these running shoes. So, different shoes for different things. And it's important. It would be useless for me to try to say, for instance, if I get these shoes mixed up, if I try to go bowling in these, it ain't going to work. I fall flat on my face using these anyway, so let alone using these. If I try to run a 5K in these, I'm just saying, there are different shoes to fit different purposes. And the problem is, us in our Christian walk, we're going to the battle with these on. We're not prepared. That's the main focus in this. The feet shall with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He wants us to be able to stand and take a stand. And why these shoes are desired, it's to help us take a stand. And really, when you think about it, I'll put these down because they'll be a distraction. But we're thinking about, let's think about the soldier. Of course, he's talking about a Roman soldier. And Roman soldiers, of course, we know that the belt was important because that's where all the tools hung. We know the breastplate was important because that's what covered the heart and the vital organs in the front and the back. But what were the shoes for? The shoes had one purpose, and that was to be able to stand. To take a stand, to defend their ground, or to take advantage, or to be on the offense. And it wasn't, they didn't wear flip-flops, they didn't wear running shoes, they didn't wear tennis shoes. Of course, they wore pieces of leather. And the reason why the word shod is used there, it wasn't placed there just on accident, it was placed there on purpose. The word shod actually means to bind. So what they would do is they would take a piece of leather, and they would actually have nails or pieces of metal driven in the shoes that would come out the bottom, almost like cleats on a football shoes or even golf shoes. You can do it that way. And what they would do, they would actually take them and bind them with pieces of leather up onto their knees. So that way it would be firmly attached to their feet. And the nails were on the bottom and the pieces of metal on the bottom for them to get traction so they could be able to withstand and stand when the enemy came against them. They weren't there just to wear down on an everyday use. No, they were there for one purpose, and that was for battle. And so God is telling us tonight, there is a reason why we take these shoes, and that's a reason why we go into battle with these certain types of shoes, because the reason why is He wants us to be able to take a stand and to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Can you agree with me on that? And we must take a stand. We have to take a stand. There are crowds going in different directions, and I'm sad to say that a lot of churches are just going wherever the wind goes, and they're doing whatever the world says. They're trying to mock the world to try to reach the world. And I already said this morning. The Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." I'm so thankful that when they designed this church, they made it to look like a church. There's no escaping the fact that when you drive drive by this building, it is a sanctuary. It is a church. You can know by looking at it that it is a church. But, and I know if other people worship in other places, and that's fine. I'm not saying that's wrong, but what I'm saying is I'm thankful that we have taken a stand over the years here in this church for what's right and for holiness, for holy living, for sanctified life, for separated living. We've taken a stand on the blessed King James Version of the Bible, and people have ridiculed us and mocked us, but I'm telling you the reason. Here's the reason why people aren't getting saved today, and here's the reason why churches aren't being filled. It's because churches are wishy-washy. They haven't taken a stand. They haven't gone into battle with their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. They use the world's gimmicks and the world's methods to try to reach the world. And we can have special days and fun times. There's nothing wrong with that. But what's wrong with just going to church? Some of you may not agree with me, but that's okay. The reason why I think is because people have decided they haven't taken a stand, and whatever comes down the pike, they follow that in an effort to reach people. And so, and here's my problem. What people have once stood for things in years past, and now they're not standing with them anymore. I would rather that you've not stood for them in the first place. I'd have a lot more respect for you. But people that have once stood for holy living, now they are not living holy. The churches that once wouldn't let our pastor preach because he wore a wedding band now have disco balls and smoke and all kinds of things in their church. I'm telling you, that's where the world has gone. That's where the church world has gone. And that's why sinners aren't getting saved. That's why people aren't coming to church. It's because they don't know what we are. And the reason why is we haven't taken a stand. But I'm going to declare to you tonight, I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to take a stand. And I may not get past this point, and that's okay. I can make it in the next week. But listen, I'm not going with the crowd that's going that way. When Jonah got into a boat in Jonah chapter 1, it says that he went with them down into Tarshish. And listen, I'm not going with them. You say, Brian, who's them? I'm glad you asked me. Here's the crowd I'm not going with tonight, and I hope you stand with me. I'm not going with the crowd that don't believe in the Trinity, that don't believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm not going with the crowd that says they don't believe in the power of prayer. I'm not going with the crowd that will jump ship and flee from adversity. I'm not going with that crowd. I'm not going with them that believe salvation is any other way than the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not going with the crowd that doesn't believe that all means all. Hallelujah. I'm glad that word is in there, because that three-letter word of those small, it's huge, because it tells us that every one of us can come to Christ and know Him as our Savior. I'm not going with that crowd that don't believe that He died on the cross. I'm not going with that crowd that believes He didn't rise from the dead. I'm not going with that crowd that's not looking for Him to come back. I'm telling you, I'm not going with them. I'm going to take a stand and say, this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to stand with the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, and I'll stand till I die or till God takes me home. I'm not going with them. And we've taken a stand. And God has honored us for that, I believe, with all of my heart. And these boots are desired. They're sought after because they help us take a stand. Now, secondly, what do these boots depict? Well, it's in the word preparation. The word preparation, of course, means to be ready. The same words found in Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Let me read that to you. It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. A soldier's boots or a soldier's shoes allowed him to be ready for whatever he faced. No matter what they faced in the battlefield, if he had a good pair of shoes and he had good traction, he can be able to march, he could stand, he could climb, he could fight. No matter what mountain faced him, he could climb it. No matter what slippery slope was ahead, he could dredge it.
No matter what lake or was a mud ball was in front of him, mud bog rather was in front, he could go through that because he had the right pair of shoes. And God wants us to be ready. And listen, what does that readiness refer to? I believe the readiness refers to this. In one sense, it means that a child of God must always be ready and prepared to share the gospel of peace to a lost and dying world. We have to be ready. We have to be able to move at the Lord's command. We have to be ready to go from place to place. We have to be ready, in a sense, to be actively engaged to reach the people for Jesus Christ. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now that's an interesting verse of scripture. And I'm glad it's in there because it tells us that we always need to be ready, be prepared to give an answer. There's nothing worse than not being prepared. When you're not prepared for something, all kinds of things can go sideways. I think the young people could testify, if you're not prepared for a test, it's bad news. If I'm not prepared for a message, it could go sideways. If I'm not prepared for anything in life, if I'm not prepared at work, if I'm not prepared at home, things could go wrong. And we need to be prepared when it comes to giving an answer for when people have questions about Christ and about being saved. We should know enough in this book and have it hid in our hearts that if we don't have a Bible with us, we should be able to lead someone to Christ. And we should know in our mind and in our hearts, the Romans Road, the plan of salvation, whatever you want to do, we should have those hid in our hearts. That way we're always ready to give an answer. Do you agree? We should. We should. Now when God, let's look at this a little bit more. People say all the time, and we're getting into a little bit different realm here, but people say all the time, how do you witness to people? How do you help them? How do you answer them when they ask tough questions? I'll be honest with you. I'm just honest with them. If I don't know the answer, I'll say, I don't know, and I'll get back to you. I don't try to make up something. I say, I'm sorry, I don't know. You caught me off guard, or I don't know that right offhand. Let me get back to you, and I will. But it says, asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's those two important words, meekness and fear. What's the word meekness mean? Meekness is a quiet confidence. We should be able to go in and talk to people one-on-one or in a group with quiet confidence. We don't go in with arrogance. I've met people through the years that have went in and witnessed to people and they berated them. They talk down to them and they got nowhere. Because that's not meekness, that's arrogance. Perfect example, and we use her a lot, is Jamie. Jamie is meek. She has a quiet confidence. She goes in with confidence knowing that God is able to save that one she's talking to. But she goes in with humility. I'm sure there's probably times where she's like to shook people by the laying on hands. I'm sure she would. Just accept him, but she can't do that. There's limits to all things, but God has given her meekness and fear. And that's how we need to approach people. When God saved us, He commanded us to tell others that what He's done for us and what He can do for them. Well, that's found in Mark 16, verse 15. And the Great Commission tells us and gives us the command, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, in the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. That's the Great Commission that is telling us, as a child of God, we need to be ready and need to be prepared to give an answer and to show people about Christ. And the way we do that is have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Why are these boots desired? What do these boots depict? And finally, what do these boots deliver? It says, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace. Do you know that If you have the gospel, your circumstances surrounding you may be out of whack. Life may be coming at you 100 miles an hour. But if you have the gospel, you can have peace on the inside. I've witnessed people and I've seen people going through hell on earth. But yet they come into church with peace and contentment. You say, Brian, how does that happen? It's because they've got the gospel on the inside. Before we were saved, we were the enemies of God. But after we're saved, God gives us peace. It says in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, verses 21-22 says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. It's the gospel of peace. The marvelous news that Christ can give us peace. Three types of peace. We can have peace of God, peace with God, and peace in God. And that's the type of peace that we should desire and that we should want. Do you have peace tonight? Do you have peace in your soul? I'm not. Can you lay your head on your pillow at night knowing that everything is right between you and God? There is nothing more precious in this entire world than having peace. All the money in this world cannot bring you peace. It can't. You can have everything. You can have the nicest car and the nicest things of this world can look at. But if you don't have peace, my friend, you have nothing. Peace is everything, and Christ can give us that. God promises us that He'd be with us. He gives us truth. And those promises, those truths are the shoes or the boots that we're talking about that give us the ability to stand in the evil day. The truth that we are loved by the Lord gives us confidence to stand. The truth that we are saved by His grace gives us confidence to stand. The truth that we are His children gives us confidence to stand. The truth that we are in His care and that He's promised to stand with us, to protect us, to keep us, to defend us, gives us confidence to stand. And that's the whole reason why we have the whole armor of God, is to be able to stand. Some of us, the devil is coming to attack, and he will attack us if he's not attacking you already. And some of you, he will get through error and lies because you don't have the belt of truth on. Some of you, he will get through sin and immoral living because you don't have the breastplate of righteousness on. And some of you, he'll get through discouragement because you don't have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And what the devil does is he put thorns and briars and stumbling blocks in your way. And if you don't have the right kind of shoes, your feet will be damaged. And your life will be damaged. And you won't have peace. But I'm telling you, if your feet are shod with the gospel, you can walk where He says to walk. You can stand when He says to stand. And you can fight when He says fight. Do you have your feet shod with the gospel of peace? If you don't have peace tonight, I promise you He can give it. My peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. That's all that His followers and that's all His disciples wanted and needed at the time. He was leaving them and He said, it's okay. I have to go in order to send the Comforter. And He said, if I go, don't worry, I'll give you peace. I'll give you peace that you can be able to stand until I return. And He's ready to come back. The question is, do you have peace? Are you ready to stand? Are you ready to take a stand? Let's all be standing. So all He wants us to do is stand. If you're not a part of this fight that we're a part of, and it is a fight, it's a battleground, but we have a great general. We have one who is there to help us, and we want you to join this fight with us. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I pray tonight that you would get peace, the peace of God in your heart.